This is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. More now on torture. Heather McDonald is a think tank scholar and non-practicing lawyer. She works out of the Manhattan Institute in New York. She's a contributing editor also for the Institute's quarterly magazine of ideas called City Journal. In the current issue of it, she writes about torture and Abu Ghraib and defends the legal practices of the Bush administration. Heather McDonald, welcome to Day to Day.
Thank you very much, Alex.
Critics of the administration cite legal memos from the Justice Department and from White House counsel and Attorney General nominee Alberto Gonzalez. Critics say that these memos loosen the bounds on what interrogators can do. You look at these memos and pronounce the administration not guilty. Why is that?
Well, Alex, I think there's been a great misunderstanding of what the actual interrogation techniques have been that have understandably resulted from the terrifying August 2002 Justice Department memo that put out an extremely narrow, hair-splitting definition of torture.
Let me just note that that memo that you're referring to, this is the one that suggested that in order to qualify as torture, the practices of the interrogator would have to lead to the point of death, serious organ failure, long-term psychological damage to the person being interrogated, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's the product of lawyers on a very heavy dose of testosterone. If you talk to interrogators, they have absolutely no interest in such practices. What they were trying to do was to increase detainees' sense of uncertainty about where interrogators' limits are and break down their resistance. And the actual techniques that were used and promulgated and officially approved were things like keeping a detainee up for a considerable amount of time, but in Guantanamo not longer than 16 hours to interrogate him, taking him off of hot meals and putting him on Army-approved vacuum-sealed rations, switching his sleep schedule from night to day, isolating him, yelling at him.
They're unpleasant, but not torture.
Exactly. And the people who are arguing that the horrific August 2002 torture memo influenced interrogation techniques would have to argue that something like sleep deprivation or sleep management would not pass muster under a more reasonable definition of torture, which is the intentional infliction of extreme pain and suffering. I submit that easily sleep deprivation passes any definition of torture.
But what some of the reports that have looked at the Abu Ghraib prison scandal have concluded is that the practices of the CIA, these kind of more dangerous, more aggressive interrogation policies, migrated somehow by word of mouth or because people from Guantanamo Bay, for instance, were sent to Iraq to instruct them on interrogation techniques, that these looser techniques led to an atmosphere that allowed the terrible kinds of practices that we saw at Abu Ghraib and which have embarrassed the country before the entire world.
Abu Ghraib was the result of the utter breakdown of military command in that prison. It was unconscionable. It was a grotesque failure on the part of the Pentagon, but it did not have anything to do with interrogation techniques. The assaulting of prisoners, the forced masturbation, the piling into naked dog piles, there was not a single interrogation technique that was approved for Afghanistan, for Guantanamo Bay, or for Iraq that had anything to do with that behavior. It was the result of sadistic military guards. It was usually almost entirely inflicted on people that had no relationship to interrogation. These were common criminals that were never even scheduled to be interrogated and occurred in the dead of night. You're confusing several different issues, Alex, when you say that techniques approved for the CIA have been said to migrate to Iraq. That is not the case. It is true that if you look at the official techniques that Donald Rumsfeld approved for Guantanamo Bay, things like sleep management, isolation, taking people off of hot meals, those did go to Iraq. the most controversial technique that has come out about the CIA, and the CIA is really a black box, is waterboarding. There is no evidence, nobody has come up with evidence that that has been used anywhere outside of the CIA context, and even we don't know whether for sure it has been used by the CIA, but that's been rumored.
No, but the report from General Fay said that CIA detention and interrogation practices led to a loss of accountability, abuse, reduced interagency cooperation, and unhealthy mystique that poisoned the atmosphere at Abu Ghraib.
Well, but that may be. And again, the atmosphere at Abu Ghraib was completely poisoned. He is not saying that the techniques that were approved for use on detainees in Guantanamo were abusive, or that the CIA techniques were used in Abu Ghraib. In fact, had the guards at Abu Ghraib followed scrupulously the interrogation techniques that were approved for that facility, or indeed for Guantanamo Bay, there is not a chance that the Abu Ghraib abuse could have happened. I think it's a mistake to conflate a violation of rules with the rules themselves. There's no question that the interrogation rules that were set out for Abu Ghraib, that demanded that detainees be treated at all times humanely, were violated. Nobody is justifying torture. A far more important and compelling debate at this point is whether we believe that stress interrogation techniques are valid for detainees in the war on terror. At this point, traditional police interrogation techniques that go on every day in precinct houses across the country, such as good cop, bad cop, are ruled out for foreign terror suspects. They're treated more gently than your average street thug. And I think that is a very great risk, because intelligence gathering is our most important weapon in the war on terror.
Heather MacDonald is a contributing editor for the City Journal, published by the Manhattan Institute. Heather, thanks for joining us on Day to Day.
Thank you, Alex.